I'm going to state this once. I know it's hot in here. But it's going to get cooler here in about another 20 minutes. That sun's going to go down. And I'm just saying this in faith. There's going to be a little breeze. And going to be looking for Brother Mike here in just a few minutes. Start opening those doors as the sun gets out. But above and beyond anything, I've got an expectation just as much as I'm looking for it to get dark a little bit later. I'm looking for God to come down and touch us in this place. Because I believe that just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, goes down at night, I believe God still touches His people. I believe He's got a plan and He's got an intention of being in this place tonight to meet whatever needs present themselves in this house. Now, here's the fact is you and I are here tonight, but you and I need to come to this realization. There's some of us that need a change. But the fact is most people aren't willing in life to change. Matter of fact, they did a study not long ago, and they said there are three times in life that people are most likely to change. Number one, they change when they're so, let me get it right, when they're hurting enough that they have to. When people hurt enough that they have to change, they're likely to. Then when they learn enough that they want to, then people are likely to change. I also read not only just when they hurt enough they have to or learn enough they want to, but when they receive enough that they're able to. And I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what the conditions are of everybody's hearts in this room, but I know this. If you're hurting enough that you have to, God's in here for the have to's. Amen. He doesn't mind that He's last resort and that you've arrived here and tried everything else and now you're here ready to try God. He don't mind. He's here for the have to's. He's here for those that have learned that He's here and they've got to the point that they want to. If you want to, you can get what you need here tonight. But above and beyond just wanting to, I've come to tell you, I believe there's enough power in here that you'll be able to. I believe that God's able to touch in every manner, no matter what it is. It's been said already tonight, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, spiritual, financial, I believe God is able to touch and move in this place. So I've come with an expectation that He's going to do just that. Amen. Let's get in here tonight. Let the Lord have His way. My wife's asked if it'd be all right with all the singing that's been done. I'm just going to go ahead and preach. If that's okay, let's go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to ask Brother Stauffer, if you don't mind, give me a little bit more on this mic. I want to keep everybody awake because I'm going to tell you the first thing that happens to me when I get hot is I want to get sleepy. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me all over this room. Ephesians chapter 2, just for those of you that may be on the edge of sleepy town, we're going to try to bring you back here and let that blood flow through your veins. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. One good thing about being in a barn is it's hard to hide. Amen. There's a lot of times you go to a big enough church and you can hide in it, kind of just blend in with everybody else. But when you come to a barn, most of the time there's not a whole lot of people there. And if there is, it's still obvious. You ain't got a back on your chair unless you're in the back row. So if you lean up on something to go to sleep, you're going to end up in the floor tonight. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, it is so good to see each and every one. I appreciate Brother Sammy Finley. And as he was singing that tonight, it was just amazing to me. Again, at his age, the range he has. And I thought to myself for a moment, is he going to be able to reach it? But then he did, even in G. And I thought to myself, how big is God? God's big enough to do whatever it is that we need. And I believe that here tonight. Amen. I need the Lord's anointing. I need His touch. I've come here tonight really with a heavy heart because I want the Lord to have His way. I don't want to get out in front of Him. I don't want to be lagging behind. I want to be moving with the Spirit. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, if you're there tonight, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. Thank you for coming from wherever you're from. Now forget it. Wherever you're from, let's just all know that we're on our way to heaven if you're saved. And let's get in one mind and one accord and let the Lord have His way. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, if you're there, say amen. Amen. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. I want to say this tonight because I'd like for all of us to get on one page. If you've been born again, you can say, I once was a stranger and a foreigner, but no more. Amen. I know that we've got some from all types of maybe different races, different churches, different places. We've even got some from across the seas, from Russia here tonight. But the fact is when you come into God's presence, if you're saved, you're not a stranger or a foreigner. Now, at one time, you were. There's not an individual in this room that wasn't born a heathen. Nobody likes to admit that. But we were born without God, needing Him, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. I don't know about you, but it excites me to know that I've stepped up in life since I got saved. Well, I'm not rich, but I've stepped up in life because I'm a citizen, though I'm still living here. I'm a citizen of a heavenly place. Amen. Though I'm here tonight and in Pennsylvania and in a barn, it didn't change the fact that the Son of God was born in a stable, but He was still yet the Son of God and a citizen of heaven. Citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, I don't know if you recognize that or not, but we've stepped up from not just citizens, but now of the household. That means that we're not just citizens of heaven, but we're family tonight. Amen. But it doesn't leave us there. Verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You and I aren't just citizens of heaven. We aren't just part of the family of God. But we're part of the habitation in which He dwells. We're part of the very makeup of His household. Amen. If you and I look at this tonight, I just want to spend a few moments in verse 20. If God would help me as I look at this, are built upon a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. How many understands that we've got a church to build even in this last day? Now, I want to ask you a question. Why is it that you think that many times we go to our prospective churches and they're small? Now, I don't want to preach contrary to what anybody thinks tonight. I'm not here to make anybody mad. But our churches aren't small because our standards are too high. Our churches aren't small because we uphold such a high standard of living. It's not just because, well, maybe there's other more talented, comfortable places. If we're not careful, I've found that many times that our churches are small because of our egos. And we try to build a church on talent. How many knows if you try to build a church on talent, there's a church somewhere else local that's probably got more talent than you do. There's some of us, we've tried to build it on personalities. And a lot of times a church will bear the personality of the pastor. That's a lot of times how it is. If you have a friendly praying pastor, you'll have a friendly praying church. But can I tell you, we can't grow it on the personality of a pastor because it's only temporary. And when that personality goes, that church isn't going to stay. You and I can't build on just simply geographical location, talent, ability, or personality. We got to grow this church on one thing. That's the stone. The stone. And what I'd like to tell us tonight is the church ain't done growing. And it hasn't reached its apex. It's not reached its finality. You and I are not the last few blocks to set up on this wall. But I believe as long as the Lord is tarrying, you and I ought to be doing our best to add to this church. Now ask God to save and direct and build it up. I want God to move in this place tonight. I want Him to give us a vision for something larger than what we are. I want to tell you, you can look around and I know that there's many different places represented tonight. But you and I are not looking at the completion of the church. You and I are a part of something that's much bigger than what's gathered in this room. Can you say amen? You and I are a part of something that's much larger. You couldn't fit it in the state of Pennsylvania. What you and I are a part of tonight. I want God to help us once again to catch a vision and understand we are not intended to stay this way. Not intended to always be small. Not intended to just go without a vision. But you and I are to grow this church. How are we going to do it? We got to grow it on the stone. If God would help me for a little while tonight, I know it's completely contrary, seemingly, to every holiness, independent work. We think that, well, we're small. And that's just how God intends it. No, I'm going to tell you, I believe God has a message that we need to reach this world with. I'm not preaching that every church should be a mega church, but I am preaching this, that every church should have a vision. Man, it's too quiet in here tonight. If you've got lost loved ones, you better pray your church has a vision. If you've got individuals that are lost and dying in a world where we've got problems, as I said last night, 67 strip joints in Boston, over 19 different clinics that will give a young lady an abortion, but they got a problem with Chick-fil-A coming serving chicken because of family values. You better pray and beg God, give us a revival and help us to stand up and declare what thus saith the word of the Lord, and help us to figure out how to grow it once again. How are we going to do it? We're going to grow it on one name, on one character, and in one place, and that is upon this rock that Jesus has given us. That rock that He is. Would you raise your hand tonight and let's ask God to have His way? I want to preach just a little while on growing on the stone. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this privilege of being in Your house. God, asking that You would sanctify this place, make it holy. Anoint my mind tonight, God, with Your words and Yours alone. God, I'm not looking, Lord, to put my spin or taint it in my way. God, I'm asking You to anoint me. God, unadulterated, Lord, and preach the Word of God. Help us in this place. God, I pray that You'd move on every soul, touch every life, anoint every ear of every hearer. Let Your will be accomplished. We'll give You the glory and the honor and the praise because You're worthy of it all. We ask it and believe it to be done in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. You may be seated tonight. May God bless you. Hallelujah. Just once, strangers and foreigners. I don't know about you, but I still get excited when I think about salvation. If you've truly been saved tonight, it's not something that is old and that just wearies you when somebody stands up and has to declare where they got saved, how good it felt, what a change there was. Here's what I've come to tell you is one night I walked into a church and I was a stranger and I was under conviction and I didn't feel comfortable where I was because I was a foreigner, alienated from the presence and the power of God. But though I walked in there a stranger to heaven and a citizen of earth, I walked back out that night as a citizen of heaven and a stranger to this world. I don't know if anybody else in here remembers when you got saved, remembered when that transformation came, but when you came in, more than likely to wherever you got saved, there was an uncomfortable atmosphere as you realized you was full of sin and iniquity and in need of God. But in just a matter of moments, almost as easy as signing your name on a paper, you and I know we can't. There is no hand that you shake. There is nobody that just pats you on the back and makes you a citizen of heaven. You got to be born again. You've got to have a salvation experience. But can I tell you tonight that it's not near as hard as many of you might think it is to get saved? Can I tell you it's as easy as confessing with your mouth your sins and admitting that Jesus Christ is God and you can be saved? I'll never forget it because I was undeserving, a backslidden preacher's son, not living the way that I should. But when I came and I found God back again at the cross, I found that His mercy abounded in a greater way than my sin was abounding. My sin had abounded much, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It still excites me to know that I'm not a sinner, that I won't lay my head down tonight on a pillow that's full of condemnation, but I can sleep like a baby and know that I'm held in the arms of a God that loves me ever since I got born again. I just want to go through this real quick. This part that I find here is that Paul is letting us know that we are a part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're from Romania or Russia. It doesn't matter if you're from Mexico. It doesn't matter where you're from. You are not independent from the body. Can we just go ahead and set the record straight? It doesn't matter to me what denomination you bear. I don't care if you're Church of God, Assembly of God, non-denominational. See, that hurts a lot of people's feelings. But the fact is you and I are, I believe they're saved individuals in just about everyone. I believe there's people that's living up to their very best ability in the church of God, in the assembly of God. I believe there's Baptist people that are the same way. But here's what I've come to tell you is that if you are saved, you are not just a Baptist. You are not just a Pentecostal. You are not just this name or that name, but you are a part of the body of Christ. I know that many of us as independent wholeness people, and that's what I bear the name of. I am Pentecostal. I am holiness and I am unashamed. But I'll tell you this, I did not get saved independently. Anybody else? I didn't get full of the Holy Ghost independently, but I had to be a part of this body, and I have been feeling the effects of it ever since I joined the family of God. Paul gives us this example in Ephesians. He shows us the body in three different forms. He tells us, number one, that we are fellow citizens. Then he tells us again that we are family. He tells us thirdly then that we are a holy habitation. We are the temple of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. It excites me to know that I live in a place that there are saints living also. In the world that we live nowadays, it excites me to think about the gated community that I'm going to move into one of these days, that gates are made of pearl and the streets are of the purest transparent gold. It excites me to know one day, if I have any money, that I can stack it up underneath a tree and not worry about anybody stealing it, because God will be there. I won't have to worry about anybody trying to take my wife or trying to change my citizenship. I won't have to worry most of all about the devil or dealing with my flesh, because I'll be living in a heavenly place where I am a heavenly citizen. I believe if you were going there tonight, some of you'd be more excited and you'd say, that's where I'm going to. All my eggs are in that basket. That's my retirement plan. That's where I plan on spending eternity. But I've come to tell you, I'm not just excited about being a citizen, but I'm glad to know that I've got a family in God, that I'm a part of the household, that I look at you, and what I find is that my family, there may be individuals that aren't saved. I've got a great family. I've got a wonderful dad, got a wonderful grandfather. I'm a third generation preacher. But what I've come to tell you is as much as I'm proud of my heritage and proud to be a Hatfield, I'm more proud to be a Christian. I said I'm more proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a child of God. I'm proud of what my heritage is. Proud of what the blood has done to change lives. I'm proud of what the Christian work has done to change the world that I'm in. But can I tell you that if you're excited about being a citizen and you're excited about being family, wait until you fully understand what it means to be a part of the habitation of God. To know that you are a part of the very household. Can I just get the cart before the horse and tell you this, that if you're in the house and you're a part of that very habitation, built upon a holy habitation, can I tell you that you can look at the enemy and say, you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm in the house. It doesn't matter what you say about me. I'm in the house. How did you get there? I got access. The same way I have access to my own house. I've got keys. I walk in when I want. I go to bed when I want. I eat when I want. I make a cup of coffee when I want it. I don't have limited access. I've got full access. I abide in that house. Can I tell some of you that if you're in the house and you're born again, there ain't no reason for you to be standing outside ringing the doorbell and pretending like you're still a stranger. I believe if I did that at my dad's house, he'd say, what's wrong with you, boy? I know you don't live here anymore, but you can come in. You've got a key. You've got a bed. You've always got a place at my table. I've come to tell us as a body tonight that we're in the house. There ain't no need for us to stand outside ringing the doorbell waiting for a special invitation. You can reside in the house of God.
Say, you're all worked up, preacher. I'm excited. Why? Because there is no limited access in the house. Does anybody understand what's in this house? Healing. Salvation. Fear can't follow you in the house. If you're in the house, Everything that you need is in the house. I'm going to say it again. Some of us act like we don't have a place in God. We come in grumpy and grouchy and upset, and the world's got us down, and every situation in life makes us feel like a loser. But I've come to tell you tonight, you're worried about your conditions. Conditions are temporary. Can I tell you something? You can be sick and still be in the house. Oh, you got to hear me tonight. You can be afflicted, still be in the house. Let me give some of us some good news. You can be poor and still be in the house. Why? Because all of these things are just your condition. But I've not come to preach to you about conditions, because conditions are temporary. But what is eternal is my position. I am a son of God. I've been born again. I know what it is to call Him Abba Father through the Spirit and through the right that I have. Can I tell you what happened? I was a stranger. I was a foreigner. And so were you. You can swell out your chest and act like you're somebody, but you had to come through the same access as everybody else. Can I tell you, you and I were all heathen and we all had it wrong. You could go to Africa and the black man was doing something crazy. Come to Europe, the white man was doing something crazy. Go to North America, the red man was doing something crazy. You go to China, the yellow people were doing something crazy. But God stopped and snatched us right out of all the craziness, and He looked humanity in the eye and He said, I am giving you access. Through my Son and through His name, you're welcome to come in whenever you like. I don't know about you, but even in this old barn, I feel like a son of a millionaire, knowing that I can step in to the presence and the habitation of God through the access that I've been given by Jesus Christ. We're a part of the supernatural construction of this very building. How many understands that with any building, it's no good unless it starts with a foundation? Can I preach a few minutes tonight? I know y'all are waving, your arms are tired, but I guarantee I'm sweating more than you are. Here in about 20 minutes, just come up and look for me in the puddle on the floor. We're a part of God's supernatural construction, and that must begin with a foundation. I read to you that foundation tonight. I read it to you right here out of Ephesians chapter 2. It said, this foundation was built upon the apostles and the prophets. Now you got to get a picture of this, because the apostles represent the New Testament. The prophets represent the old. I know in the day that we live in now, some people only want to talk New Testament. But it's all the Word of God. Here's what I want to tell you, is that I could take time. We could go to Isaiah chapter 28 and I could read to you where we find that the stone the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Who is that stone I'm talking about? Can somebody say His name? Okay, well, I've got part of us here. Here's what I find. It's not only in the Old Testament. It's not left there, but then I find in the New Testament, in almost every gospel, but you can find in Mark chapter 12, it talks again about the stone the builders rejected, and it has become the head of the corner, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We look at these things, and here's what I've come to tell you. I find that Jesus Christ stands as the cornerstone. If you read it, study it for yourself, you'll find that Oriental individuals put a special emphasis upon the architecture of their houses, and especially chiefly on this cornerstone on their foundation, for it connected the walls and concentrated the weight of the building upon that stone itself, thus bonding and holding together the whole structure. Can I tell you what binds the Old Testament to the New Testament? What was it that fulfilled every requirement of the law in the Old Testament? It was Jesus Christ. Those prophets could prophesy it, but they couldn't bring about the power that fulfilled it. Can I tell you, the New Testament had all kinds of promises, and the apostles preached about them. But can I tell you what fulfilled it? What was the revelation of it in the New Testament? It was Jesus Christ. He spanned from the old all the way to the new, sitting on top, holding it all together. He's the glue. You can't extract Jesus Christ and have the power of this structure. Can I tell you, that's
why we must again declare that we're not going to build it on anything or anybody else, but we're going to build our church on one character, on one name. We're going to build it on that rock that is Jesus Christ.
Can I tell us tonight that a cornerstone, by definition, brings two separate walls together, serving two separate purposes. The Old Testament had its unique purpose. Sacrifice after sacrifice. I hope you come back tomorrow night, because I feel like if unless the Lord changes my mind, I'm going to be preaching about that. Preaching on the revelation of the Lamb. But I want to tell us this, is as you look at the Old Testament, you'll find everything that is there from the very beginning until Malachi at the very last chapter. Jesus Christ is in every page. I challenge you, pick up the Word of God. I believe you'll find Him on every page. You find one page that He's not on, and you'll find Him twice on the next one. Because He's all through the Bible. Has the very glue that holds it all together. You roll over into the New Testament, and what you find is that He's all through the New Testament fulfilling everything that is needed to be fulfilled. But what I love about this is as I see Him spanning from age to age, can I tell you what's nice about this foundation? It's eternal. Oh man, I wish some of you weren't so hot and were a little more awake. It's eternal. What is the one thing that just seemingly is beyond our grasp of understanding and beyond what we can see with our own carnal eye, beyond our fathomableness with our mind? I'll tell you what, it is the understanding of what eternity will be like. But can I tell you, from age to age, Jesus Christ has always been Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell you, as long as He is here, you can have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grands. Why? Because He's still the same. You may change your personality, might fade. The place you live might be torn down. But I've come to tell you this, Jesus Christ, standing on top of that foundation, holding everything together, making promises real for everybody, will always be the same and always be the glue that holds this church together. I look at this, and what I find is that what's wonderful is that it is eternal. But on top of this eternal foundation, now listen, that has withstood every stress test ever known to man. How many new religions do we get every year? But for 2,000 years, Jesus Christ is still the same. With all the changing winds of doctrines and cultures, we still have Jesus Christ. We still have the promises of the Word. We still have a foundation that connects us, Brother Sammy Finley, all the way to those Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and Amos. And that excites me to know that all the way back to Jeremiah, weeping his head full of tears, you and I still have a connection to that same power, that same anointing. Why? Because sitting up on top of this eternal and holy foundation, you know what I find? You and me. For some of you that think that I'm going to preach till the sun comes up, I'm almost done, okay? Sit on top of this holy and eternal strong foundation. I find us. You and I. Man, that ought to excite you tonight to know that I'm not on some newfangled religion. This ain't just something new with the culture. But I'm on something that is absolutely powerful and eternal. The Bible said tonight, all the building fitly framed together groweth. Now, Paul had an understanding of the maturing, continually growing church that I don't see hardly anywhere else in the Bible. He had a vision that said this church is to be continually added to. No place where it stops. Now, here's what I see is that in reading this, you and I are set up on this wall. But looking down, Jesus Christ is no ordinary stone. So therefore, I began to search and study, and what I found is that neither are you and I. We're not ordinary stones either. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, ye also as lively stones. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just break the news to you. The majority of our churches now could pass for a pet rock. There's not many lively stones going on in the house of God anymore. But it says, ye also as lively stones. I wish some of you just go ahead and left the world. Yeah. No, I ain't dead. I'm not here for pretend. I'm not playing games and I ain't fake. But everything about me is alive. I said is alive. Church still alive. Growing up, we are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. I could go on reading, but here's what I've come to let us know, is that the materials that are built in our modern day church are to be living materials. You and I ought to come to church and everything we see, I understand there's a structure. I understand there's a covering. I understand there's a place that we come in and abide. But you and I, when we get into worship and in prayer, we shouldn't just have our mind on our building. But we ought to understand we are the church. We are the building. We are growing stone upon stone. We have a job. We have, a responsibility to make sure that this church continually grows until the Lord comes again. These lively stones, what I find, these unordinary stones, if you can picture it this way, you and I, when we get to the yard and he begins to get ready to put us up on the wall, he has to, as the master craftsman, begin to chisel away things that don't belong. Because you and I have a special spot. But there ain't ever anybody that's ever come to God that fit just like they were. I know in this modern day term where everybody just seemingly come as you are, leave as you came. Everybody's fine, just got to be you. No, I've come to tell you, I better not be me. I won't make it to heaven. I've got to be what He wants to make me. Here's the part where I'm just about to wrap it up, but I've come to tell us the reason some of us are not fulfilling our purpose and the reason we've not gone from being a dependent on the wall, looking down on everybody else, hoping they're secure, hoping they've got a connection to the foundation, to looking up, knowing that we're holding somebody else up, is because we've not wanted to allow God to chisel away on us and fit us in to wherever His will is. Not everybody is going to be the singer. Not everybody's going to be the preacher. Not everybody can be the pastor. Nor is everybody a deacon. But God, help us to submit ourselves to Him in such a way that says, Lord, You've got the tools, You've got the understanding, and You know where I belong. God, would You chisel me out? Some of you need to get to this point and realize He ain't done working on you yet. You may have been safe for the last 10 years, but you may need more of God's chiseling, more of God's work. Will anybody be that honest and say, I need the Lord to keep on working on me? I want to fit just right. I want to be represented of what He desires. Lord, work on my life. This wall that I find, this foundation that connects us, this Jesus Christ that moves in and lives within us, becomes a very part of the fiber that holds us together and connects us to past and future generations. But here's what's powerful, and this is what God showed me in studying this, is that if you and I are obeying the will of God, if we're doing it the way the Bible tells us, every generation should be lifted higher. Is that right? Are you hearing me tonight? Here's our problem. Too many times we get a new convert saved, and we step back and we're all praying for them that first night. I mean, we're all over them, won't let them up, we're loving them. But the next thing we find out is that they come back to church the next time and they go up to the altar and we just sit back and watch them and wonder how long it's going to take for them to be like us. And until they're just like us, we want to throw them under the foundation until we're done working on them. But that's not the way it works. If we're going to continually grow this church, we got to let God do the chiseling and us just be a steady foundation and say, you can lean on me and I'll lift you up. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? I know I'm maybe speaking in a physical aspect, but if we look at it in the spiritual realm, if every time we lifted another generation higher, Brother Dave, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He
will draw nigh unto you. If that were the case, it would not be getting deader in the last day. It'd be getting closer to God, higher in spirituality, a higher expectation. There'd be a higher level of anointing. Man, I wish God would help me right here, because I'd like to make us understand. I don't believe the Lord's waiting on the church to dry up like a prune and fall off into His hand, and He can say, now I've collected what I came for. No, I believe He's looking for something that is alive, something that's full of power, something that is more than just a resemblance of the way it began. But let's add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, and to our knowledge temperance. God, help us to build it up. Help us to lift another generation up.
Can I do a demonstration? Come here, Brother Dave, if you don't mind. I don't know how old Brother Dave is. I know he's not the oldest person in the building. But the foundation starts before us. So for some of us that are young people, figure that we've got it all figured out, it didn't start with you. I hate to bust your bubble, but it goes way back. But this foundation, if we do it right, it'll start. Brother Christie, are you younger than Brother Dave? Come on over here then. We'll get a younger generation in. If it's all right, I'll pretend I'm an older generation. Make Brother Dave, Brother Stafford feel real good. A lot of times we'll get them in and looking to build our church. How many understand what I'm talking about? We got to grow this church. Can't let it go dormant. Can't allow this generation to be the last. I know that it feels good sitting up on top and knowing you've got good things underneath you. But God didn't save you for you to sit up on the top. It's a selfish desire that wants to always be on the top. Man, I wish I could preach this to every preacher I know. You're not supposed to preach every camp meeting. You're not supposed to always be the anointed chosen one. And whenever you walk in, everybody else has got to sit down. I've heard that old mess for as long as I can't stomach it. Whenever they walked in, everybody else knew who was preaching. No, they don't. Every generation. I understand God puts His anointing on individuals. But what I want to tell you is this, is that God doesn't leave it with one generation and leave another generation dry. But if it should be done right as it's passed on, many times we'll get that generation say, we'll say, all right, now he's down a little lower. So I want you to step up just a little higher, all right? Just step right. No, not like that. Not like that. No, go ahead, put your right foot up there. No, go ahead. No, not like that. Is that not how sometimes we're building our church? We welcome everybody. Wait a minute. You can't come in like that. God help me. I'm not trying to be harsh or wrong. And I want to tell you right now, I believe in a standard. I believe the platform is a holy, hallowed place. And I believe it ought to be representative of what we believe. But I believe every pew ought to find some place that somebody that don't know how to live right comes stumbling in. And we're still enough a work in progress that we can bring them in and say, it's all right, we'll lift you up. Here's what I've come to tell you as you come over here, Brother Stafford. We've got one generation that is here that's rooted and grounded. And he can't be selfish. He can't be the kind of individual that is all about himself. But as God works on him, he says, Lord, help me to be a good foundation. You come on up here and stand up a little bit higher. Right up here. Come on up. Go ahead and lean on Brother Dave. Come here, Brother Dave. And you just go ahead and lean your shoulder right up there on him. Can I tell you, that's how God is building the church. That's how you and I got to envision and understand. It starts here. Can I tell you, there's generations that you and I can't see, but we can look back and there'd be a name that many of you would know. Sister Rosie Adelsberger. Can I tell you, somewhere down here, you'll find that she wasn't trying to stand on the top. She wasn't trying to be somebody that made the front page, but she said, put me where you want me, Lord, and just let me be a stone on this wall that lifts up another one. Man, I feel the anointing in this house to let you know. I believe God is trying to build us a church. He's trying to stand us up a little higher. He's trying to make us understand that we can still build it. We can still grow it. But we got to make up our mind. Lord, I'll be selfless. I'll be somebody that's not about me. Lord, help me to serve your purpose in life and grow this church on the stone. As you stand with me all over this building tonight, there's a principle that I find in the Word of God. I'm closing with in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, the Bible says, though this is the end of a parable, I find a principle. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, few are chosen. Here's what I've come to let us know. I know that many of you think you're a young man, and you young whippersnapper that's got wetness still behind your ears, that's why you're preaching this. You want somebody to lift you up. I'm only 31 years old. I am most people in here's junior, and I don't have any great revelation. But what I have understood in my past few years of life, having two children now, is that very swiftly it passes from you being the dependent until God expects you to be the dependable. And there's too many that come up and down off the wall as at their leisure and as they please, and they're in 1 week looking for everybody to hold them up in prayer, and they're out the next week not caring what anybody says. We need to grow this church, not on a personality. It don't have to be about Noah Hatfield. If I never get to preach at this barn meeting again, God will still have a church. It's not about Noah Hatfield. What I understand is there'll be other generations come on, but I don't want to be caught standing there trying to push other people off the top, preserving my spot. That's why the church is where it is. Because too many individuals are worried about losing their 40-year spot on a pew. We ought to beg God, help me, Lord, to come into church and have to hunt for a spot to sit. Because we're growing this church on you and you alone. It's not about me, it's about Him tonight. Here's what I've come to ask. I've come to ask those, if you don't mind acknowledging who you are, those of you that are saved, those of you that have been in God's presence and know what it is to pray the Holy Ghost down, and be right there as somebody prayed for you, put their hand on you. Maybe you received the Holy Ghost one of them old-fashioned services. Got saved in one of them old-fashioned services. If you're 40 and above, I want you to be the first to come up here tonight. My sister-in-law is going to come to this piano. Jenna, come begin to play something conducive. I know that this is going to make some of you uncomfortable, especially those that's last year was 39 and now they're 40. But here's what I want to ask you to do if you're 40 and upward. Our senior, we're not looking down on you. We believe in you. But the only way for us to grow this church, Brother Dwayne, is to not look down at new Christians. We got to lift them up. Does anybody understand this concept tonight? We got to grow this church. We can't stand up on top of them. We got to build them up. There's going to be those that have problems that takes them a while to get chiseled in. It takes them a while for God to fit them in where He wants them to fit. But it's not our job to chisel them. It's God's. We'll just hold them up. You're saying you don't believe in preaching a standard? Absolutely. If it's in the Bible, I believe we ought to preach it. If you've got women looking like men in your church, you ought to tell them they need to look like women. If you've got men acting like women, you need to tell them, act like men! Here's what I've come to tell us is all of our chopping and hacking away won't make a difference in anybody's soul. But you get them in the presence of the same presence that you was in when God chiseled you. And I promise we can lift it higher. I'm going to ask those of you that can, would you come a little closer? Because we're going to begin to create an atmosphere. Those of you that know what it is to pray the power down. Those that know what it is to be in a place where the Spirit of God is. I'm asking you to begin praying right now. I'm going to ask the rest of you that might be a little younger. If you're not saved tonight, you can be saved. But if you are, I'm asking you to come on and let's join. Don't sit back where you are, but let's get up here and let's grow together. Can we do it tonight? Asking God, would you save another soul? Come on, tell the Lord, I'll be dependable. You can trust me, God. You can build upon me. Lord, I thank you for the connection to the power that I have. That powerful connection that dates not just back to my father, to my grandfather, but dates all the way back to Jesus Christ. Thank God I've got a connection. Thank God we could still grow this church. Come on, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us grow on the stone. Help us to identify with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, church, come on. You've got a special place. You've got a designated spot. God's got something special just for you.
Sometimes I make it weary.
If you're lost tonight and you don't know God, I'm beckoning you, don't wait another day.
Your life is unstable. Your life is falling apart. Bring those broken pieces to God and get built on that foundation. Let Him secure you. Let Him hold you. Let Him connect you to something greater. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, come on. God, remind me of my place. My calling, God. Come on, you and I are here because of somebody's vision for the lost. You and I have got to share that same vision and grow this church. God, help us to grow.
My name may never be in lights on a marquee, and the world may not applaud.
Come on, come on. We need the unity of God. Bind together. Put your problems in the past. Believe God for one another. Let your neighbor know you can lean on me. I'll hold you up in prayer. I'll hold you up in prayer. Come on, older generation. Let that next generation know I'll hold you up. You can lean on me. I believe in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You call me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. And when I see those teardrops falling, remind me of my calling.
So I'll never run. God, help me not to run from the call. Help me to be what you want me to be. Establish my goings. Make you want me. Make me what you want me to be. Move in me. Come on, come on. We can't lose the vision at the end. Without a vision, the people perish. Our nation is perishing. Our world is dying. We need a revival. Come on, we must grow. We must grow. Oh, God, root me in. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
When I was just a child, I knew all the while you had a special work for me to do. Well, now I can't count the miles. Oh, sometimes I get so tired, but after all you've done, it's the least that I can do. So remind me, Lord, you call me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it.
Come on, come on. Putting all differences aside. We're going to unite, grow on one personality, one character, one stone, that chief cornerstone. Connect me, God. Connect me, Lord. Be connected to that stone.
Lord, remind me.
Be connected to that stone means there's infinite power. Means there's infinite space. There's room. There's still room at the cross for somebody that's lost tonight. I said there's still room tonight for somebody that's lost and undone to find Him tonight. Hallelujah. Grow us, God. Grow us, God.
And may I never run from the call.
Oh, yes. Come on, church. That's right. Come on. Allow the Holy Ghost. Allow the Holy Ghost to move in this place. Bind us together, Lord. God, just one more soul. Give us a vision for another soul. God, another life.
Oh, remind me of my calling.
Oh, God. It's worth it, my friend. It's worth it. Whatever effort that must be made tonight to be connected to this cornerstone, Jesus Christ, It's worth whatever effort you put forth. Can I tell you, it's worth coming and sitting in a barn, sweating a few drops tonight, to be in His presence, to be where He is, to experience His power, to know Him in the power of His resurrection, to fellowship with Him in His suffering. Can I tell you, it's worth it to be where He is. God, give us a vision to grow this church. While they're getting ready to sing some more, can I just ask us to be honest? And is not the overall consensus of many of our small churches, I don't know that we're going to have a revival that brings anybody in. I preach in small churches all over this land, ranging from 25 to 500 and 600 people. But can I tell you this? It doesn't matter where you're at in your state of church growth. You're not done. You say, I haven't had many people saved lately. Continue to have a vision that they will be. It's all about that one. If He is the example, would leave the 99 in a safe spot where they've been obedient and they're where they ought to be, and go hunt that one down that's rebellious and lost and needy and scared. Can I tell you, for us to be like Christ, to grow this church, we got to be the same way. I don't know about anybody else. It's easy in this day, in our terms, in the time that we're living in, to grow real selfish. It becomes all about you, all about preparing for your future. If you don't look out for you, nobody else is going to. But can I tell you, you and I have got to take the time to say it's not about me, because my eternity is secured. I know that I'm saved, and I know that He's able to keep me. That's what I preached last night. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed. The first thing I committed unto Him was myself. How many could say He's kept me thus far? But I'm not just going to commit myself, but everything else that's precious to me, my loved ones. This very week of revival in the barn, Brother Sammy, I don't have any power to produce it, but I've been committing it in prayer. Lord, I'm committing these services to You. You're able, Lord. I listened as a father cried out and said, tonight I've got a lost son. I know that others do. Sister Salford, pray for my boys. Brother Sammy Finley, I've stayed the night in his house as a little young boy with his son Carl. Man, to think that he's lost and undone right now. God, help it to keep me up at night praying for that lost soul, saying, Lord, if he comes in, we won't tear him down, but we'll lift him higher. We'll provide an atmosphere that's closer to You, and we'll believe that that is lost can be found. Those that come in and maybe don't know God like they want to know God. Can I tell some of you, I know that some are new faces since I've been here the last couple of years. But can I tell you, God loves you, though I don't know you as well. Some others do. And you're on the top of God's priority list. You're the apple of His eye. And you need to make sure, Lord, that I'm more than just somebody that's known at church. I want to become a foundation. How many would say this? I've been going to church, but I want to get connected. I attend somewhere, but I want to get connected with the foundation. I want to unite with my brothers and sisters. And I want a vision for this lost and dying generation. And I want to grow this church on Jesus Christ. Would you commit with me to that tonight? I'm about to let you do what you want to. Whoever wants to stay and pray is welcome, but I'm not going to hold you here all night. But I'm going to ask us one more time. Let's unite in prayer. And let's ask God, Lord, help me to become a soul winner before this year is over. Help me to bring somebody into my church. God, give me an unrested feeling. Give me a burden for the lost. God, make me a stable factor. Make me dependable, God, that someone else can grow on me. Hallelujah. Come on, girls, sing a little more. Hallelujah. Come on, church, one more united prayer. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Come on, let's believe together. I'm believing with you for your boys. I'm believing with you for your children. I'm believing for somebody's healing. We're binding together. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He'll be in the midst. There's power in agreement tonight. There's power in unity. Let's believe, God.
Oh,
hallelujah.
It doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling because of who He is and because of where He's been
and because of what He's done.
You can start all over again. Sing it again, sing it again. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling because of who He is. Yes, because of where He's been.
And because of what He's done.
Because He's already been to the cross. Paid the price. Sign my pardon.
Again.
I've got the right to go on. Sing it one more time.
Oh,
hallelujah.
It doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter where you've been.
It doesn't matter what you've done.
Jesus is softly calling because of who He is.
Oh,
because of where He is.
And
because of what He's done, you can start all over again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Saints, raise your hands one more time. Love Him tonight. He's worthy, He's worthy. Hallelujah.
Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling.
In every generation, they've been building upon that foundation, Jesus Christ. Amen. Building upon Him, building their faith and hope on Him. Amen.
And,
you know, it was many years ago, a service similar to this wasn't in a little, it wasn't in a barn, but it was in a little country church. When Sister Roe and I, July 20th, 1975. Amen. And I felt the presence of God like I did here tonight. Amen. And I felt a need in my heart and soul. Raised in a church all my life. Amen. But I was lost without God. But that night I took a step toward Him, went to that altar. Amen. And we prayed through and got the victory. And our soul, it's been the best step that I've ever made. Most important step in all my life. Amen. Thank God. And God changed my heart. God changed my life. Amen. And God can help us, amen, to bring us to where, amen, many tonight have, amen, that have accepted the Lord and know tonight beyond a shadow of a doubt that their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
Amen. But I tell you, there's nothing better in this whole life, amen, than to find that friend that'll never fail. Amen. Sometimes in this life, we have friends that when everything's going well, they're there. Amen. But when the hard times hit, they don't want anything to do with you. Amen. But He's that friend that'll never leave you nor forsake you. But He will be there even unto the end. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. I appreciate, amen, our brother tonight. Amen. Bringing that word. Amen. That's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. And whosoever shall believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I thank God for that life that He has given. Amen. And that's why He came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And I love the Lord tonight. I appreciate what the Lord has done and what I believe the Lord is desiring to do in the remainder of these services here in the barn this year. Amen. So, amen. Why don't we all look to Him tonight? Let's lift our voice. Let's magnify the Lord in praise. And let's thank God for what He's done, that He was mindful of us, that He's come by here tonight. Mighty God, You've come by just like, Lord, that woman that was set upon the well. God, You had a need that You came by. And Lord, tonight in this place, inside these walls tonight, Lord, there was a need that You've come, Lord, to work and to move in our heart and soul. And God, I thank You tonight, Lord, for the mercy of God.